Well, we're taking your phone calls this hour with Brenda Knight about her experience with Mothman and also the gratitude movement. So check in with us on both, and we'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Brenda Knight with us, author of The Grateful Table, Blessings, Prayers, and Graces. Thought we'd give you a little change of pace this Thanksgiving night. I'll have open lines next hour. Brenda, it sounds like you practice what you preach, and you know what? Your life has changed because of it. Do you find that when you use this, you also change the attitudes of other people?
Definitely. Well, for one thing, I evangelized for gratitude because, you know, it did keep me from living in my car or worse. And so, you know, I share what I know. As I mentioned, I had that gratitude circle that I started in San Francisco that immediately helped my friends. And we kept that going for months. And each week, more people came. I mean, it started with three. And I think by the end of it, it was like 25 people. And also, you know, it's just when you practice gratitude, and or I guess have an attitude of gratitude, you're a more positive person. And that's kind of infectious, too. You know, viral in a good way.
Well, it sure is. Now, some of the things that you recommend, you know, go on your Facebook page or your blog, for example, say a little thank you to people, friends and family. Tell me why that's important.
You know, it's important because I believe that also people just want to be affirmed. You know, we're going around, like most of us work too long hours, we work hard, we got so many obligations and things. And, you know, there's a lot of people that like just don't get enough, you know, attention and thank yous for what they do. So I think it's important to catch people doing something right. And I have an inclusion of that in the Grateful Table where I talk about that, where, you know, you've just got to let people know what they're doing right so they can do more of it. You know, just notice the good and share it and comment upon it. And then that'll come back tenfold.
Do you think this is an age-old practice?
I think people were much more like, you know, practicing gratitude, but also I think that, like, in the modern times, that we've forgotten a little bit about the simple virtues, kindness, patience, generosity. I think that, you know, when people had, you know, extended families and your relatives, your grandparents lived in the home or lived nearby, and then they could instill these virtues and teachings, you know, they taught their children and grandchildren well. But, you know, both parents work, people work long hours, there's no extended family to kind of, you know, share this wisdom. So basically, you know, people have to figure it out on their own or, you know, learn it somewhere. And so I think that I'm hoping the gratitude movement will really, really, you know, be something that Twitter and texting and Instagram and Facebook definitely pick up. Even today on my own Facebook and Instagram, people were saying, I'm grateful for all of you and I love all of you. And I just smiled every time I saw that. I thought it was just wonderful. So I do think that, like, the gratitude movement might be still a little bit small, but I think that, like, it's going to grow and it's going to be one of the best things that could happen to us.
Let's take some calls here for you, both on Mothman and gratitude. We'll go to Lillian in Salt Lake City, Utah. First-time caller. Happy Thanksgiving, Lillian.
Been Thanks listening for forever.
Well, thank you.
I had something happen to me recently that I think fits in here. I used to have very vivid meditations where I would actually see myself being places and doing things, and that was maybe 10 years ago, but it stopped for about 5 years, and I was very, very sad, and my daughter would say, you're sad, looks mean, Mom, you just look mean. So I thought, I'm going to try meditating again, and I did, and it took me about 10 times, and finally I hit one. It was so wonderful. I found myself in a long hallway, a huge rounded vaulted ceiling, wooden doors at the end, and I walked toward the doors, and I opened them, and I could see a bright white light, nothing else, just a bright white light, but it didn't hurt my eyes. And I was confused, and I said, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And then a very deep male loving voice said, love yourself. Love yourself. I said, okay, I will. I will love myself. So I told my daughter when I came out of this maybe an hour later, and she said, well, Mom, don't you know if you don't love yourself, you can't love others? And I said, you're right. So I had been walking around various places, the grocery store, whatever, and people would look away from me whenever I looked at them, and it was because of I was sad and I had on my mean face. I tried smiling, not just to smile without teeth. Just every one I looked at, I'd smile and they would smile back. And so it's been a very positive experience. I thought it fit in with the conversation tonight.
Great. Brenda, what do you think of that?
I think it sounds like you should keep meditating, Lillian. I mean, that almost, when you were talking about it, it almost sounded like you went into like a past life experience or something. But I definitely start every morning off with it. When do you meditate, Lillian? What time of day?
About 10 in the morning.
Okay. And do you do that now all the time? Did it really like recharge you for meditating?
It did, but I meditate only maybe twice a week. I find I'm too busy to do it every day, so twice a week. Sometimes I can't, if I forget to close my door, my cats come in and jump on my chest, bring me out of it.
But, twice a week is probably better.
I am trying to meditate, and I wish I could convince everybody else that this is such an important thing to do because it connects you with the universe. And I think we're all connected through the universe to each other.
And I agree.
May I say one thing, George, that I've listened to you forever. I had an experience like you had when I was 42. You had yours, I think, at age 11. I was falling asleep.
My OBE. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I had my eyes closed. I was bobbing up and down. I opened my eyes, and I was against the ceiling. Turn around, look down, saw myself, and boom, back in bed.
Never same thing. Again. Yep, same thing, and I can't duplicate it either. Lillian, thanks, and enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving now that we're into Black Friday. You're going shopping, Brenda? You're going to do that maddening crowd?
Oh, I don't really like crowds. I confess I might go to a couple of bookstores, though. It's my thing.
You like bookstores?
I do. They're like sacred spaces to me. They really are. So I'll definitely hit it. I know Saturday is like small business Saturday. So I'm definitely going to go out and shop like indie shops on Saturday to support them because I really want to help, you know, people that are like running a small business. I really want to give back to that.
You grew up in West Virginia. Is that still home for you, or where are you now?
You know, I'm in El Cerrito, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's
okay,
right beside
sure.
Berkeley.
Yep. Nice area.
It so is.
Jim in Reidsville, North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Hey. Well, first of all, I'm grateful that I've gotten through and have such a great show to listen to every night.
Well, thank you.
And, I've got a couple questions about the Mothman, and I was wondering if, like, anyone's noticed if, like, UFO sightings spike, you know, along with Mothman sightings, because it seems like there's some things that, you know, they have been similar, like the lost time thing. I don't know if, like, that's just from the movie or if, like, you know, people experience a lot of lost time. When they see the Mothman, is that correct?
There are a lot of UFO cases during these Mothman sightings, and Brenda, we were talking about that. Is it unusually high?
Oh, it's tremendously during the like 1966 through 68, and kept on. But that was a huge number, and there were also a large number of Men in Black sightings, you know, which must have really been strange in the little country town of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, for Men in Black to suddenly descend.
And you must have had Robert Anton Wilson on your show at some point, George. Is that true?
Oh, boy, I'm sure we have. Probably.
Yeah, he wrote the Illuminati, you know, books. And I remembered being, 19 years old and living in such a strange little town made me, like, curious. And I just wanted to read everything I could get my hands on strange phenomena, including, like, you know, UFOs and everything, to just try and understand what was going on. And I was shocked when I read his book, and there was two entire chapters on Point Pleasant and the UFOs phenomena that was attached to the Mothman. So I would say that whatever little I know, if you want to really understand, like, check out the Illuminati trilogy by Robert Anton Wilson, who went very in-depth and had tracked it and had a lot of numbers. That was the first time I realized just how serious mm-hmm. the UFO and Men in Black action was in my Ohio Valley home.
Super. Jim, you have any more questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I want to get that name of the guy who wrote the Illuminati trilogy again, but I have a gratitude question about, just so it's not left so open-ended, I got the part about, you know, being grateful to people and letting them know, that sounds great, but is it best to direct your gratitude for things like that aren't given to you by your friends, like, you know, having health, good health, being born in the USA, you know, things that
I think
can't
so.
Help ourselves? Should we be grateful to, like, a God or just a mechanical, non-living universe, you know? I don't know what your opinion or view is on that. I don't know if it's rude to ask.
No, it's not rude at all.
I don't think it's rude. I mean, I think the real key is to be grateful for what you have. So if you feel like you have a special relationship with, like, you know, a spiritual master or a God, then you should definitely, like, be grateful for that. I tend to be a little bit more, you know, down to earth with mine, like, you know, like George, like, grateful for my health, grateful for a job. I'm really grateful for the wonderful friends I have in my life and my family. And also, like, you know, this is very grounded, but I'm really grateful for my garden. The first thing I do after I've done my gratitude morning ritual is to go look at my garden and just gaze upon it and, like, sort of soak in the beauty of it. And it just really gets my day off to a good start. So I hope I sort of answered the question.
And would you spell out the author for him, if you would, on your Illuminati?
Absolutely. Robert Anton Wilson. And the middle name is Anton, and then Wilson, you know, Wilson. A very advanced guy, Robert Anton Wilson was, like, pretty brilliant in his research. And I would say he was a visionary.
What's your view, Brenda, on saying grace at the dinner table? And I'm not talking about religion here, but what's your view on just saying grace at the dinner table?
I think it is a wonderful ritual. You can actually, like, if you notice the trend now in restaurants where there's, like, open seating tables where, like, you're seated with strangers, and I personally think that's because, like, if you say grace, any group of strangers can become like a family. There is some sort of magic that happens. And actually, I know the Hindu, like, have the word prana, which means that, like, if you can imbue the food with, like, a loving energy that actually makes it taste better and is healthier for you. So not only saying grace, like, a beautiful, lovely thing to do and sharing gratitude and positivity, but the Hindus would say that it's making the food healthier for you.
Let's go to Jeff in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Jeff.
Brenda, you have a very pretty voice. I don't know if anybody's told you that, but they should have.
Thank
anyway.
Thank you. So I guess it's that little West Virginia accent in there.
Yeah, I know. It's cute. Listen, Brenda, the reason I'm calling is I need a real huge crash course on gratitude. And I'll just give you a little bit of background. I don't want it to be sound like doom and gloom or anything like that. But my fiance went to the hospital about 6 weeks ago. Very cataclysmic thing. And
sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you. And basically what happened, we were doing all right, but basically what happened with all the prescriptions and whatnot, it pretty much drained our savings. And then there was something that happened with me at work, too, along the way. Anyway, a bunch of things happened all at the same time. And I knew we were in big trouble. And so, anyway, she went back into the hospital here this past Sunday, and she's still there. So I knew we were in big, huge trouble. So I was just sitting around moping and groaning, waiting for what was going to be next. Well, sure enough, I go take the garbage out tonight and come back in, and there's an eviction summons on my door saying I have to be in court. On
Thanksgiving Day,
Wednesday.
They put it on your door.
On Thanksgiving Day. So you were saying that, you know, one of your friends kind of turned things around real quick, and I need that secret real quick.
Okay, absolutely. Well, you can, ideally, you do start with, like, a group of three for your gratitude circle. So you gather together, you state what you're grateful for. Actually, ideally, you even break bread, even if it's something simple like a sandwich or, you know, sharing a bag of chips or something, which is how mine started because that's all I could afford. And then you must state your intention, what you want. In your case, you want to I think you probably want to stave off the eviction so that you can just have stability so you can deal with your fiancé's health and then also deal with your work issues. Is that true? Is that what you need to deal with? So I think you, even though that seems overwhelming, I was right there with you in the in those big, huge things, like a perfect storm of issues. So just state your intentions and be really clear about what you want. Like, I need, you can even say, like, I need $1,500 to deal with the eviction notice and get caught up on rent or whatever. Whatever it is, the more specific, the better, and more, you know, keep your language really positive. Keep doing it. If it doesn't happen, obviously, you know, with me, it took weeks. So it might take like a number of days or a while, but just keep at it. My situation seemed so daunting and, you know, undoable that I did what I called doubling down. And so I actually had my little group that I got together with. And then in the morning, I did my gratitude ritual. And then in the evening, I did it like an evening prayer.
Okay, well, that's a good advice. We're going to come back with you, Brenda, and take final phone calls with you on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Richard C. Hoagland's going to join me for about 5 minutes or so next hour with an update on the Comet Ison, quote-unquote, breaking story. So we'll get Richard's take on all of that before we go into open lines. Dr. Peter Breggin, by the way, my special guest on, of course, Beyond Belief. You can watch him and all the other programs we've done. 10 days free. Take advantage of it. Simply go to beyondbelief.com. And welcome back, Brenda Knight, with us. Your phone calls as we talk about Mothman and being grateful as well. I guess there's no question, Brenda, that it does work, this gratefulness, if you apply it properly. Sometimes faster, sometimes not. What about people who do it and nothing has happened yet? What do we need to do so they don't give up?
I haven't encountered anyone like that, but I'm sure that must be the case. I think, you know, really almost with anything, you just got to keep at it. But, you know, also like the very practice of gratitude is going to change you for the better. I keep thinking about the last caller, and I did just want to add that in the Grateful Table, there's about 50 how-to tips and guides, and especially on page 28 and 29, people will find that there's actually six steps and tips when things are really bad and really rough and when things fall apart about what you can do, because, like, my heart is just really touched by people that are going through hard times, like, you know, I did, and it turned around for me. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in 1 week, but it did. And you just have to keep believing, because like we talked about, you know, a while ago, that what you're looking for is also looking for you. And we all are interconnected, like Lillian said earlier. And so just keep at it and good things will happen. Set the stage for better things in your life. They will come.
All right, let's go to Houston, Texas. Gary's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, and I think it's a great day for a great topic. I agree with Brenda that gratitude would bring a positive attitude, but what we're missing, I think I'd like to add, is that people are missing dignity, and dignity is something you earn. We give gratitude, but we've got into a welfare state, and we've without jobs, people can't earn dignity, which brings confidence and pride and motivation, and then there's gratitude for lots of things. So I just want to put out that you know, taking things for nothing is stealing people's ability to even have dignity, and that to me is more important. You can always be grateful when you're proud of yourself and you like yourself, like the other lady said. And I just like to say one last thing is that with Obamacare, if you agree to Obamacare, you're agreeing to be a second-class citizen because the government employees have made the law. They carved it out, so they're not part of the law. So they're exempting themselves. So if you want to be a second-class citizen, which is really against the Constitution, sign up for Obamacare. But if everybody will just not enroll, maybe we can stop it where the politicians want. But you will be a second-class citizen if you enroll for that. And the politicians do not have to. So that's what comments I had tonight, and I appreciate everything. It's a great show, George. Thank you.
Okay, Gary. Yeah. Hey, you have a good Thanksgiving. There's no doubt about that. Brenda, when you started doing this out of necessity, right?
You know, absolutely, George.
How come you didn't do it before that? Why not? Just not aware of it?
Yes, I don't want to take up like 5 more hours, so I'm going to try to tell this in the shortest way possible. But it's funny, your previous caller touched on it. I went through a little period where I got entitled, and I thought I deserved to own something, and I thought I had reached the point where I should have a fancy title. So part of how I got myself in trouble was that I quit a good job to work at a place where I could have the fancy title of vice president. But it turned out to be a super toxic environment and an awful job that was making me ill. And then I decided I wanted to own a place right as the real estate bubble was about to burst. So part of it I brought onto myself with a sense of entitlement. I sort of joked to people that I became an ingrate for a while, and I had to get back with gratitude.
Well, it worked out for you, didn't it? Was it a blessing?
It did, and it can for other listeners for sure.
What has been one of the saddest cases you've come across? I'm sure people have told you some stories that they have gone through.
Oh, absolutely. I was in a gratitude circle last week in Mountain View, and a woman, she was actually weeping, and I got a little weepy too. She was telling us that she was in a terrible, abusive marriage, and you could also tell that she wanted to share it. That's part of the beauty of the gratitude circles, is that people can tell their troubles. They can spill out their heart, like even things they're ashamed of. I remember my situation brought me great shame, and so I would say that her case was the one, but I could tell she was on the path to like making things better because she was taking steps, she was telling the truth, and she was, stating gratitude for her awareness and taking the first steps to making her life better. But that one really, that was heartbreaking to hear.
All right, we go next to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Hi, Gary. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm enjoying the show tonight. And yeah, Brenda, I like your ideas about gratitude. I was touched quite a few years ago, about the teachings of Christ on gratitude. And he teaches to give thanks always in all things. And some we don't give thanks for everything, but in all things. And sometimes it's hard when things are not going the way that we want it to be thankful. And we need help, supernatural help. And Jesus told us to love our neighbor and love God and trust in God. And so it was only through God's intervention that I was able to give thanks always in all things, and for my life to really turn around. Do you think it's a good idea to get some supernatural help?
I do, and there's definitely, I took great pleasure in picking out some biblical passages for the Grateful Table, and I think that the Christ teachings were, again, like what we were talking about a while ago, it's the simple virtues, which really boil down to be a good person, you know, and part of being a good person is to be thankful in all things and to give what you have to, and also kindness. Simple kindness and random acts of kindness, you know, that's a wonderful thing that has gone viral too. But I agree that definitely what you call supernatural help, which I guess you mean like higher power, what other people might call higher power. Is that what you mean, Gary?
Hold on for a second there. I hit his button and let me bring him back.
Christ and his teaching, he's been teaching this for 2,000 years and it works, you know.
It does. Hopefully it'll be taught for a few thousand more.
Well, I hope so, if we're around that long.
We will. Gary, thanks. Appreciate that. Brenda, you know, today, now that things have changed for you and you're teaching people this, you talk about a grateful circle. What is that? What is a grateful circle?
You know, it's a gathering of the grateful, and it can be as simple as three, and it could be, you know, I suppose it could be hundreds and thousands, but ideally it's where you all sit around and you actually first just state what you're grateful for, whatever that is, whether it's like your health or a job or the cup of tea you're holding in your hand, and then, you know, you can ask for what you need and set your intentions, and then, you know, traditionally, you should also break bread and share that with a grace, and then also end again with gratitudes for each other. That's a real key to it, sharing your gratitude for each other.
When does human traits like jealousy and stuff like that come into this and then affect it?
Well, like I mentioned, you know, last week there I was in the gratitude circle in Mountain View, California, and people were sort of using it as a confessional, and I think that's just fine because we all do have, you know, problems and things that we want to share and process. And, you know, we are humans and we do have these feelings, and instead of squelching them or not admitting them, it's actually cleansing and healing to state it. And once you've stated it and admitted it, you can deal with it and then move on.
All right. Next up, we go to Jeff in Juneau, Alaska. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, Jeff. Thank you.
Good.
Good, good. Hey, you know, I just like ton of things to say here. In the last, I'd say, I don't know, 8 weeks, I've been just coming to the front, right smack face into the wall of, hey, I'm being forced to take steps in gratitude. And not just gratitude is the thing I'm trying to say here is what you're talking about isn't just about gratitude. I mean, abundance, gratitude, all of that thing are the same thing. It's frequency is what it is. And I want to tell everyone in the audience, look, if you can't find a circle of people to be gratitude in, you have a circle right here in this audience if you're hearing this right now, because we can all just close our eyes anytime we want to and be with each other. And this is a huge amount. This is a huge thing. If you can't be with two or more other people, well, you can be with hundreds of thousands of other people that are like-minded in this, and you can do it anytime you want. And the point that I'm trying to make here, and I'll like to get your feedback on this, and I want to listen to it on when I'm done. I'll just hang up and let you answer it. But I have been seeing my life. I'm in the same boat as the guy that called two or three callers before the eviction, being behind on everything, and blah 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 blah. And in the last 8 weeks, my birthday was on the 8th of November, and so I'm kind of like going back a few weeks before that. I have seen my reality shift quantum shifting, if you want to call it. I've seen it like as if I'm watching it one frame in a movie at a time, only now it's come to a fork in the road. It'll take the other fork simply by not concentrating on the things that are the problem. If you've lost your job, you're going to get evicted from your house. You're going to lose your car because they're going to repossess it because the economy's bad or whatever's going on. I don't care what you're losing a loved one to something. Quit dwelling on the problem and start. You can call it daydreaming if you want. You know, this is why Christ said things like be grateful in all things, because whatever you're going through, for if you will just look at what you want that to be, it already exists. Your abundance already exists. It's just waiting for you to. It's waiting for you to change your own vibration to match the vibration of that abundance. And you've had multiple guests, George, that confirm that, have you not?
Yes, am I not right?
So I just wanted to, Brenda, I wanted to ask you, does that resonate with you? Do you think I'm right about that?
Absolutely. First of all, I love the point that you make that we are having like a giant gratitude circle coast to coast. And so that's a beautiful thing. But you really keyed in on something. What you pay attention to, what you pay the most attention to, you will have the most of. If you focus on the negative, you're going to get more negative. So managing your mind, actually, you know, is really key. Editing your thoughts, which, you know, sounds maybe kind of silly or something, but it's so important. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes, to the point where it's very natural. I mean, I come from a family, you know, that where there was a lot of worry and negativity. And so it didn't come naturally at all to me to, you know, be grateful and do mind management. But after going through my hard time and having the gratitude turnaround, I really focus on the positive. And so I love that you brought that up. I agree. It resonates. And I'm vibrating.
Let's take a few more questions for Brenda Knight. Mitch is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hey, Mitch, go ahead.
How you doing?
Good, Mitch. Thank you.
Hey, it's good to see you. Brenda, listening to your talk, you're a journalism major.
English major, actually.
English. So you studied a lot of English language. Well, I had an experience, you know, down in southern Indiana where I had a winged creature that surprised me out of the night. And I'm wondering if that has some relation to Mothman.
I didn't catch the part you said that somebody surprised you in the night. Did you say it was a teacher?
No, it was a winged creature.
A winged creature.
Like a Mothman.
Okay.
I was once
an English teacher, so I was going to say that could be scary.
Well, you know, whatever. You know, I mean,
it could be. I mean, did it have glowing red eyes?
Well, they were green, but like, you know, whatever. It was kind of like I was driving and everything, and then I swerved into the other lane and hit a truck and died and then got cancer.
Oh,
geez.
I mean, it sounds like it could be like, you know, somewhat related. But it sounds like. It served the same purpose in warning you something bad was going to happen, but it also caused it, right?
Truck and getting cancer. That was bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that, and I hope that that's healing. Well, then, I mean, it sounds like you got a messenger. I mean, really, that's what I think the Mothman was, is a messenger, like a spirit messenger, Native, you know, and for me, my belief is that it's Native American origin. So I hope that the message came in time for you to maybe, like, you know, help yourself in regard to your health.
How important is this, Brenda, with your health? I mean, can you literally make yourself healthier by practicing gratefulness?
Well, you know, Dr. Michael Emmons says you can, because he says it does positive things for your physiology and for your new neuron pathways and neurotransmitters. I think that, you know, I mean, you know, I don't want to go off on a limb in regards to that it will heal you. But I know I do believe in miracles. And so I think that if you can keep your mind open for miracles, they can happen. And I know of one of our writers at Viva Editions actually had, his name is Mark Nepo. He actually had like two serious bouts with cancer, and he did meditation practices and actually writing, and he credits that with healing him from cancer. So I think find what works for you and practice it, and also be very open to miracles and the miracle of love.
Well, there's no question about that. Brenda, we've only got about a minute or so left. For people who want more information on what you do, where do they go?
They can go to www.vivaeditions.com. That's the publishing that I do. And if they want to know more about the Grateful Table, I guess they could go to Barnes & Noble or yeoldamazon.com.
All right, Brenda, thanks. I'm glad you had a great Thanksgiving, and I'm glad you've turned your life around, huh?
And I'm so grateful to you. This is a blessing in my life, and I loved talking to the callers, and I'm very grateful to you and Coast to Coast team.
By tomorrow morning, wait for you see the hits on your website.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right, Brenda, you take care of yourself. Enjoy the rest of the holiday. I will be back in a moment, an update from Richard C. Hoagland on Comet Ison, and then, of course, open lines next this Thanksgiving night into Friday morning on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and follow us on Instagram, too. All of that in the far right-hand corner of coasttocoastam.com.